singular phrase that I want to give to you. A singular phrase I want to leave you with. We'll develop it throughout the message. In it, really, ultimately, a key word that I believe defines the Christmas season. And ultimately, it would really be the word of the Lord. For you and for me, for whatever you're dealing with, for whatever you're going through during this Christmas time, it's this. Christmas is a miracle story. It's a story filled with miracles. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 6, both of them, speaking of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, both of them did what was right in God's eyes. They obeyed all the Lord's commandments and rules faithfully, but they had no children because Elizabeth was not able to have any, and they were both very old. But then, the miracle. Verse 11 of the same chapter, then an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will have a child. It will be a boy, and you must name him John. He will be a joy and delight to you. His birth will make many people very glad. He will be important in the Lord's eyes. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from the time he's born. He will bring many of Israel's people back to the Lord their God. He will have the same spirit and power that Elijah had. He will teach parents how to love their children. He will also teach people who don't obey to be wise and do what is right. He will prepare the way for the Lord, and he will prepare a people who are ready then for the Lord." This is unbelievable. And so no wonder Zechariah's reply, verse 18, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is old too." His question is pounding his unbelief. And Zechariah gets in a bit of trouble for that. In the end, the angel doesn't really answer his question. He just reiterates, "What I just told you, it will take place exactly as I told you, and exactly when it's supposed to." We can answer this morning, though. Zechariah, you're old. Your wife is too. But Zechariah, this is a miracle. And miracles defy the limitations of age. Zechariah, miracles have no limitations. That's what makes them miracles. Zechariah, you and your wife couldn't have a child, and now you're too old to have a son, but you will. Zechariah, it's a miracle. Not far away, Elizabeth's relative has a very similar encounter with an angel. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a young woman pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Her name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.'" Again, what's more, it's unbelievable. So no wonder Mary's response, "How will this be? How can this be?" The angel does answer Mary. Let me paraphrase, though, his words. "Mary, it's a miracle. You're young. You've never been with a husband. It's impossible for you to be with child, but you will be, because miracles defy impossibilities. You will have a child. You will give birth to a son. You'll name him
angels appearing to shepherds in fields. Maybe even the real miracle, extending to them first an invitation to come and see the Savior of the world. A star, magi, wise men from the east. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." The magi were basically a priestly group of people, a group deeply rooted in the study of the heavens, of astronomy and astrology. They didn't really separate the science from the superstitious. They were a very intelligent and knowledgeable people in all matters of education. They were skilled in the area of sorcery and divination. We get the word magic from the word magi. And they were the advisors to the ancient kings. In fact, history will tell us that under the Persian Empire, the magi became so powerful and influential, before one could become king, he had to study under the magi. He had to sit under their religious and their scientific teaching. Before he could rule, he had to be approved by a senate of the magi. Do you understand? They weren't just king's advisors. They were the king's makers of their day. It's believed that in times such as the Egyptians and Babylonians, dream libraries were kept. The belief was that all dreams had meaning. And so all dreams were chronicled, were written down, filed away. The person who had the dream was watched carefully. Whatever happened to him was the meaning of the dream. Later on, someone has the same or similar dream. We know what it means. We know what's going to happen to them. We read the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. We know it, betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, into Potiphar's house, then into prison. And we read in Genesis chapter 41, Pharaoh's dreams. Verse 8 of chapter 41, in the morning, Pharaoh's mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians, all the magi, all the wise men of Egypt. For what purpose? To come and interpret his dreams, to come and tell him what his dreams meant. The story of Daniel is the same. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He does a bit different. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 2, so the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, the astrologers, to tell him what the dream, even before telling him what it meant. They can't. But Daniel does. And for that, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 48, then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all his wise men. It's interesting. Think of it for a moment. Is it possible to believe in charge of them, Daniel, this Hebrew prophet begins to tell these pagan wise men about an all-wise God who would one day send a Savior? Is it possible to believe that some of them begin to believe in Daniel's God, even the Messiah that was yet to come, that they begin to wait for him to appear, look for his appearing, fix their eyes heavenward, watching, waiting for a sign that would indicate the birth of the world's Redeemer? Is it possible to believe that while shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks, there were wise men in the east, astronomers, astrologers, their eyes fixed on the night sky, when suddenly there appeared to the shepherds an angel, and then a multitude of angels, the glory of God appearing? Is it possible to believe that wise men in the east saw a light they had never seen before, and that these kingmakers leave their home because the king of the Jews had come. They had seen his star. They wanted to worship him. Do you understand this morning? It's a miracle. An angel warning Joseph. Herod was coming. And Joseph, his wife Mary, Jesus, they had need to flee Egypt. It was miraculous protection back to the Magi, the wise men who came to worship this newborn king and to present him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. It was miraculous protection for Joseph, for Mary, and Jesus, coupled with these gifts from the wise men. It was miraculous provision for them as well. Miracle after miracle after miracle. The Christmas story is one filled with miracles. It's a story, even in fact, that in and of itself is a miracle. The Christmas story is this, John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. On to verse 14, the Word, God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The message puts it this way. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. It's a miracle. The Christmas story is this, Matthew 1 and verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God. Brother, my sister, God himself, he comes near to us. He comes to be with us. He becomes one of us in flesh and blood appearing. He moved into our neighborhood. He made his dwelling among us. It's a miracle. One says this in this street. Of the humanity of Christ, that he sunk himself into our flesh, is beyond all human understanding. It's what makes a miracle a miracle. It's what makes his birth, the story of his birth, is what makes Christmas a miracle story. Another says this, the central miracle asserted by Christians is the incarnation. They say that God became man. Every other miracle prepares for this or exhibits this or results from this. In the Christian story, God descends. He comes down, down from the height of absolute being into time and space, down into humanity, down to the very roots and seabed of the nature he has created. It's a miracle. Filled with miracles. Christmas. It's a miracle story. We continue. As a miracle working God. It's true, isn't it? Doesn't Scripture reveal him to be that again and again and again? A miracle working God. This universe, this world, and all its beauty and splendor created by him. He said, and whatever he said came to be. It's a miracle. For Noah and his family to be protected from the flood, kept safe in the ark, brought to rest on the mountains when the rains were done, when the flood waters had receded. It's a miracle. For Abraham, 100 years old, and Sarah, 90 years old, for them to have a son, listen, no matter the age, for the barren womb of Sarah, for the barren womb of Rachel, of Hannah, of Elizabeth, for the barren womb to be opened, it's a miracle. For Israel to be rescued, saved from Egyptian bondage and slavery, to cross the Red Sea and the Jordan River at flood stage, to cross on dry ground, it's a miracle. For manna to fall from heaven and water flow from a rock. It's a miracle. For the walls of Jericho to fall at the simple sound of a shout and a trumpet blast, it's a miracle. For Elijah's sacrifice, practically submerged in water, for it to ignite with the fire from heaven, it's a miracle. For Daniel to rest peacefully and safely through the night in the lion's den. For three Hebrew boys to be protected from the fire of a fiery furnace, it's a miracle. For God to become one of us, for God to make his dwelling with us, for Jesus to come, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, it's a miracle. For Lazarus to be raised again to life after 4 days in the tomb, for the leper to be cleansed, the centurion's servant healed, blind Bartimaeus' blind eyes opened, it's a miracle. For Jesus to die, by his death provide the atoning sacrifice for all our sins, it's a miracle. Laid in the grave for 3 days, only for it to be found empty on a resurrection morning. The powers of death, hell, and the grave defeated once and for all. It's a miracle. Listen, this God that you serve, listen to me this morning, my brother, my sister. This God that is your God, this God that is your Father, there is nothing too hard for him. There is nothing impossible for him. And because there isn't, listen now, miracles are what he does. His specialty is healing. Christmas is the miracle story of the miracle working God, refresh, who comes so that he might do the miraculous in you. Listen, it really is true. It's the miracle of all miracles. What God does in you, what he does to save you, it's the miracle of rebirth, of new birth. It's the miracle of a new creation, a new heart, a new spirit inside you. It's the miracle of restored relationship with him. Once an enemy of you, now his son, now his daughter. Listen, it's a miracle what God has done in you in doing that. It is especially important for us in our day, the culture of our day, is to learn amazed by the miraculous, the sensational. The blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dead to be raised. We're mesmerized by that, captivated by that. We want to watch that. We want to see that happen. We want to be a part of that. I remember my friend sharing with me his story. He's getting ready to go to Africa with his uncle. His uncle lives here in Michigan but has a radio ministry in Africa. And on one day of this ministry, there was a couple that called in to the radio show, as it were. They called in requesting prayer because their child, their baby, had died. This man here in Michigan with the radio ministry in Africa, he began to pray over the radio, and that baby breathed again. That baby came to life. It's amazing, right? We're mesmerized by that. We're captivated by it. It's entertaining. I don't know if that's the right word to use. It's fun to watch. It's exciting to be a part of. It's powerful. Really, in many ways, rightly, our desire for that. In fact, we're headed there in just a moment in our message. But maybe important for us in our day, maybe important for us in our culture, even in our Christian culture today, may be important for us this morning. The reminder. Oh, but my brother, my sister, do you still understand the greatest miracle? that you, a sinner, would have your identity changed. No longer a sinner, instead a saint, clothed with His righteousness, made to be His child. The greatest miracle of them all, the miracle He does in you. It's true, but so also is this. Listen, Christmas isn't just a miracle story of a miracle working God who comes so that He might do the miraculous in us. Listen now. Christmas is also the miracle story of a miracle working God who comes so that He might do the miraculous for us. Do you need a miracle this morning? Listen once more. Listen now. This God that you serve, this God that is your God, my brother, my sister, this God that is your Father, there's nothing too hard for Him. There's nothing impossible for Him. And because there isn't, miracles are what He does. His specialty, listen now, miracles are what He does for you. Do you need a miracle this morning? Listen, He can and He would do a miracle for you. He would heal you this morning. Your sickness, your pain, He'd do a miracle for you. He would help you this morning. Your need, your impossibility, He'd do a miracle for you. He would deliver you today. Set you free. Your struggle, your bad habits, your addiction, your bondage, He would deliver you today. He would set you free. He would do a miracle for you. Do we need a miracle this morning? My brother, my sister, for your grief, He'd bring comfort. He'd do a miracle for you. For your lack, for your insufficiency, your financial burden, He provides for you. Listen, He'd do a miracle for you. For the broken thing, the dead thing, He'd mend, He'd restore, He'd make better than brand new again. He'd do a miracle for you. Do you need a miracle this morning? Something impossible for you, you need a miracle. Listen, there's nothing too hard, there's nothing impossible, not for Him. He'd do the miracle for you. My brother, He would do the miracle for you today. That impossible thing, my sister, not impossible for you. He'd do the miracle for you today. When the prophet Zechariah wrote his book, Judah was a struggling remnant, a desolate land. There was poverty, there was division, challenges everywhere on the outside, despair, discouragement on the inside. Their situation looked impossible. Oh, but then this word from the Lord in Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 2. I love Jerusalem so much. I will return to her and live there on Mount Zion. Then Jerusalem will be known as my faithful city, and Zion will be known as my holy mountain. Very old people with walking sticks will once again sit around in Jerusalem while boys and girls play in the streets. And then this, listen, I believe it to ultimately be the real message this morning. Listen, my brother, the word of the Lord for you. My sister, the word of the Lord for you today. Your life, listen, the word of the Lord for us this morning. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 6. This may seem impossible for my people who are lost. Listen, but it isn't impossible for me, the Lord All-Powerful. Oh, my brother, my sister, hear that word today. Believe that word today. Whatever it is that is your need, whatever it is that is your struggle, whatever it is that you would define and describe as your impossibility, that's how you call it, to be healed. Impossible. To overcome the sickness, impossible. To overcome the pain, impossible. To get out of the debt, impossible. To to move forward in life? Impossible. Relationship to be restored and mended again? Impossible. It's how you describe that thing, whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you're dealing with. Your impossibility. Listen, hear the word of the Lord, my brother, my sister. Oh, but it isn't impossible for sin. Not for the Lord, your Lord, who is all powerful, to do a miracle for you. He made the impossible happen for you today. Still one more and we'll be done. Christmas isn't just a miracle story of a miracle-working God who comes so that he might do the miraculous in us. Or for us, listen now, Christmas is also a miracle story of a miracle-working God who comes so that he might be the miraculous through us, through you, through your testimony, through your witness. He wants to do miracles in others, through you, my brother, through you, my sister, through your generosity, through your kindness, your love shared and shown. He wants to do miracles for others through you. Listen, you go put your hands on the sick. Pray the prayer of faith that they may be made well. He wants to do miracles for others through you. You go find the oppressed, the afflicted, the demonized. Pray deliverance for them. Freedom from their captivity. He wants to do miracles for others, for you. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus begins his ministry, as it were, according to Luke's gospel. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news for the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Now to you and to me, John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you, anointed to preach the good news to the poor. Proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, release the oppressed. Declare the Lord's favor and destroy the devil's work. For that reason he came, and for that work he sent you out into the world. Listen, do you understand? He'd do the miracle in you. He'd do the miracle for you. Yes, he would, and he will. And he'd do the miracle through you. The miracle in and for others through you. And do that. Listen, my brother, my sister, let him do that through you. Listen now, the message this morning, the word of the Lord today. Christmas is a miracle story. It surely is. Of a miracle working God. He surely is. Who comes so that he might do the miraculous in us and for us and through us. Father, I pray this morning that you would speak to the hearts of this people. The miracle of Christmas. Thank you. God in our midst.